warrior's mindset is about conditioning the mind, body, and spirit. It takes practice, commitment, vision, goal setting, determination, sharp focus, respect, and discipline. Once you learn it, you can apply it to all aspects of your life. The warrior's mindset prepares you for the largest competition ever, the competition against self.
All right, everybody, I want to welcome you to the Willie the Bam Johnson's Warriors Mindset. The whole purpose of Warriors Mindset is to use everything to the best of our ability, mind, body, and spirit, to overcome all obstacles, all pitfalls that we face today, and we'll continue to face as we move forward. But we can gracefully face these challenges with a positive attitude, with a smile, with some love, with some peace, and with some harmony. And that's what this show is all about. It's about being positive and connecting with people that are out there to try to empower us, feed our subliminals so we can be able to know how to step up and do what we need to do to manifest our destiny in our life. Today, I have someone that I have, you know, been, you know, more than 3 years. And that connection came from someone that I just had an interview with. Her name was Miss Arlene Lehman. She was the first person to win the Olympic gold medal. So I got both of these people that made this connection happen. But his name is Mr. Rubin. He's an incredible man out there in the community, working so hard, always giving his heart and soul. I'm a brother. We connected. We do the same thing. We are out there making sure the next generation that we have made. Give these people an introduction on yourself.
Greetings, everybody. Coach Rubin Saldana. I'm over here in Orlando, Florida. I was born in Brooklyn, but I was raised in Miami. And so, so I have the only youth crime prevention program in the world that trains kids in mixed martial arts for free, outside, and we compete at the highest levels. Just to give two examples, our latest examples, we just came back from Africa last month, fighting over there. Actually turned our first kid pro at 17 years old, John Camacho. And we went unified with the rest of the gyms in the United States, United States Fight League, to Rome, Italy's Olympic Center in 2019. Almost 300 competitors went up against, I think, 26 countries. We're the number one team in the world right now. We'll be doing our qualifiers to go to Turkey to defend that title here in Orlando or the Kissimmee area, April 2nd, I believe it is. April 3rd, in less than 2 months. So we're going to be preparing for that. So that's just a short version of it. There's a lot more involved, though. But
So tell us, I mean, you as a young man that has made this commitment to do what you have done, to serve the kids and empower the youth, what is it that defined your warrior's mindset? What did you have to go to get to this point of being a warrior of peace?
I think the best warriors that find peace, you have to go to war, man. Because if you haven't been to war, you don't really know what peace is. I don't know if it's, I've never been a person that didn't know what war looked like, whether it was a street war or mind war. And I know all of us go through mind wars throughout the world. However, when you're dealing with the physical, you know, there's a different element of resilience. Just to give an example, you can see I'm like my speech is off a little bit. I just ran a 5K, haven't ran in like 2 years, just signed up for it. Literally this morning, brought my kids out here. They signed up yesterday and we won first place, second place, and third place. And I'm going to give you a little show. We got an Olympic runner right here, right now. She invited us out here along with New Image Youth Center and the Give team. Let me show you. Let me flip this. Where is she at? That's her right there in the white. So she'll be running for the United States for the Olympics. She's doing a little photo ops right now. And then all of our kids are over here. See the girls and stuff and some of the boys from the New Image Youth Center on a slide with Coach, our running coach. And then let me see if they can give you some words of inspiration. Coach, this is Willie Bam.
Hey, Willie, how you doing?
Now, there's an interview. Y'all want to say something to him?
Hey, yo.
Hi, Ben.
Any words of inspiration? He's in Maryland up there with his snow.
Hey, how about this? So we do obstacle course races. So it's the only inner city obstacle course racing team in the country. And our motto is we're the give team. And our motto is no matter how little you have, you always have something to give. Right. So there's your words for today.
And this is our center right here.
That's right.
This is Root Camp headquarters as well. New Image Youth Center right there.
Okay.
And then I'm going to bring you to the gentlemen, the boys right here that won. They're part of the Root Camp champs. And, of course, we come under New Image Youth Center. That's our headquarters. All right, y'all, I'm on the phone with Willie Bam. Y'all remember Willie Camacho and LEL?
Yeah.
So we're in the interview. So this is our first place winner right here, JoJo. They literally signed up for this yesterday, right? We pulled it off. First, second, third. The red, black, and green, right? And then who was second place?
I was second.
Right here, we got Nemo, second place. And then we got our third place winner right here.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So, and then here was our sixth, and here was our fifth, Camacho. So remember, they competed at your Point MMA events as well. Both of these two did. I don't know if you remember that or not, Mr. Willie. And I'm going to put you on with the Olympic runner as well. Do all that, the introductions and stuff, to go back to your question on resilience, brother. Like, when, you know, all of these are former fighters, or some are still active fighters. So when you have that physical, it's a different level. Like, look, they signed up for a 5K yesterday and won the day before. And me this morning, right? And I don't even know where I placed. Maybe 15, 20. I have no idea, right? Maybe, but they're number one, two, and three here in a very historical African-American area called Hannibal Square in Orlando. Very historical. Look it up for whoever's interested, right? And they placed first. Signed up for it yesterday. They're number one, two, and three in this 5K. That's resilience on the physical level. Why? They've been through the war. So they know. Oh, I don't want to quit. The telephone's waiting on me. Oh, this hurt. No, they fought a race. So this is like, man, ain't nobody hitting me. Ain't nobody hurt. I'm going to push. So that, you know, I know I went far with it, but that's the point of introducing them and the resilience of these kids. Like, they came and blew it out. And it's not like there ain't some good runners here, because there are. You know, I'll give you a little quick view of the scene. You know, and then... our Olympic runner, it looks like I'll be able to grab her. I actually told her you were calling in, Willie, and she's won already, I believe, in the Olympics, and she's going back again to represent our country. Excuse me. All right, and this is them right here.
Hey.
I told her I'm on an interview with Willie Bam. He's a legendary martial artist right now, and I was telling you about it. This is the legendary martial artist, Willie Bam. So he's doing an interview.
Hello.
So he's a... You can look him up as well. He's a real major legend in the fight world.
Hey, man. Hey, man. I shared this with his boys. We're out here running. It's a gold medal from 2004. It's been a beautiful day.
That's the Olympic medal, too.
Get his kid some little inspirational.
Wait, Willie, we can't hear you.
Gold medal.
Oh, wait, wait. Okay, now I can hear you.
Now we got you.
Your volume was down.
I said, can you give the kids out there that are in the world trying to find a way to step their game up, what do they need to do to achieve your sort of success?
You know what? I was telling one of the runners when I was out running that it's a mental thing, right? We have to keep our minds strong and keep with a good tribe. He's in a good tribe. And I told him, it's not going to always be about the wins. You learn from the losses. It's the losses I took that helped me win, because I kept my mind strong and my tribe was strong. So I was able to really overcome those things that I thought were doubtful and learn from my losses. When you can take your losses and make them lessons, that's when you become a champion. That's what I told you.
Can we call that the warrior's mindset? Is that that's what that is, right?
You know what? A warrior mindset or a gold medal mindset.
I like that.
What you answered was the question he had just gave me. And I said, let me put
that's
it over here.
That's all right.
Can you give them some contact information, like a Facebook page or whatever?
Look at my go on my Instagram. In my I have Facebook is my name, but if you go look at Miss Mashami, it has my link to my the nonprofit I'm doing. Go on there, and you can put spell my name so you can see it on Facebook. Connect with me so I can connect with you further, because I think that you would love if you check out the MashamiMovement.com. It's for a suicide prevention place, and I'm gonna tell you what it's actually gonna be. You tell me your thoughts. I think you'll love it. But that's what I'm coming back to train for. So I'm training for the next Olympic trials. To bring that to fruition.
Thank you.
Blessings.
I'm glad y'all connected.
Yeah.
He's a very in Maryland and DC. He's
strong.
The dude. No. Yeah.
My trainer's in DC.
Yeah, he's the dude. Yeah. God bless y'all. All right. All right, Bam. I gave you all the stars around here. Now I'm back on the interview.
Thank you, brother. One of the things I want to hit you with, you know, when I see what you're doing, the whole purpose of Point MMA was to bring about technical excellence and education and motivation in communities that me and you come from, but they're not all, those kids are not always that fortunate to get the professional quality leadership, business concepts, and all those things that many of the top professional martial arts schools that got the money get.
Thank you.
How important is that? I mean, you know, because we on the same path. When we first talked, we talked about we on the same path, man.
Right.
How is that so important?
I think unless I didn't hear it correctly, because like I said, brother, I'm still breathing from this 5K, right? I haven't watered up. I haven't ate anything yet because this interview is more important to me than doing that at this moment. And I think you left out the main cue, because what you listed, some people can bring that, quite a few. But one thing everybody can't bring to the table that you and I could bring is lived experience on the streets, real lived experience, real. Yeah. The jail, the streets, not, you know, I ran away for 2 weeks and I experienced the streets. And no. We're talking the authentic youth crime prevention, right? So one of the things that I admire about you, and, you know, I prejudge. People talk, oh, don't judge. I mean, it's human nature. Like, you got to judge whether to go right, left, wake up, not wake up, right? I judge all the time, right? But I understand the criteria, what they mean about judging, right? I was like, okay, traditional martial artist, you know, that's what I expected, a brother of honor, discipline. But when I met you and heard you speak and heard you train some of your kids and listened to some of your numerous videos in the past, before we went out to Maryland and DC to meet you, I was amazed at that. You're a traditional martial artist of the highest caliber, of the black belt caliber, you know, been around all the movie stars, been around all that, and you still were able to be authentic and say, don't let this gi stuff fool you on what really goes on in the streets. Because you'll get your behind tore up thinking all this gonna work in there on them streets. Yeah. And that's so important, because, you know, it was like the MMA revolution. You know, sometimes traditional arts get lost up in the point system.
Yeah.
And forget that crap. You ain't hitting somebody one time and a referee saying break, and then you're going back to another corner. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, you got to know how. And what I love about what you do, brother, you're able to distinguish the traditional arts, the sport of it, and the self-defense aspect. And even, to be honest, even a great majority of the MMA schools have lost that. It's so focused on the sport right now that, let me give an example. Like, for anybody saying, oh, he's hating on the MMA. I'm not hating. That's what I do, the mixed martial arts. That's what I teach the kids, MMA. I don't teach them karate. I don't teach them jujitsu. I teach them MMA, right, to the best of my ability. And I got great assistant coaches. But if you're putting somebody in a triangle, and I mentioned this because this happened to me, right? There's not a lot of MMA schools that prepared students for what I'm about to tell you. And this was a self-defense situation. You put somebody in a triangle to put them to sleep or break their arm or whatever. And we're talking self-defense, right? You want to go to the max. You want to put them to sleep. You don't want to kill them, but you want to put them to sleep. And what happens when you got them in a triangle and they take their teeth and they bite down on your chest while they're locked in your triangle? Basically, they're not going anywhere. What do you do then?
Yeah.
Right. See, yeah. I had to do by instinct. I'm not going to mention it right now. I'm not trying to give the game away to everybody. I just want to prove a point, right, to people that even the MMA schools are back at that point. All right, bye. The girls leaving. Let me say my goodbyes. Y'all are leaving. All right. I love y'all.
Hey, nice meeting you, man.
All right. Likewise. Yes, sir. We'll keep in touch. All right. Good work. I'll see y'all Tuesday. Maybe Monday.
But you know what you hit on there, Mr. Rubin, is something interesting. Yesterday I did a free seminar with Black Belt Magazine.
Okay.
Is all over the world. And the concept was on street combat. What I tell people, street combat is what I had to do in the hood. Ain't no technique, ain't no theories and concepts. It's what you had to do. And I'm not, and you know, if you heard me, I'm real about what I talk about. So if you want to be dead, you want to survive in any hood, you better be able to, when that guy give you an opportunity to represent, you better figure it out with no fear in your eyes, your spirit, or your heart. You better make that first try a success, so nobody don't fall over you.
Hey, yeah, go
I believe a lot of times in the martial arts,
I
can't wait to that.
Yeah, I gotta make sure that it's
all question me. You wouldn't even survive in the place that I came up at, let alone even know how to deal with that place. But
oh, you hit it on the money. The dealing with it. We win most of our wars on the streets now and then because of our respect for the others, even when they're disrespecting us.
That's it.
People ask me all the time, bro, how you light skin? How the hell you be going to LA, Compton, Miami? How you go there? I mean, not only do I know people, Chicago, how you go into these black neighborhoods like that in them crazy gang infested Spanish neighborhood? Because I don't go in as a threat. I don't go in with my chest pushed out. That's how it's real simple. I go in with love and gloves.
But tell me, help me. I mean, because people need to be educated. The truth of the matter is, in the hood, you ain't going to disrespect another brother.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You got to be a straight up sucker to even pass a line of disrespect on some guy that or woman, let alone that represent that warrior's energy. I mean, how important is it that respect? Because people at the highest level of martial arts, they just so disrespectful, man.
Right. And predators smell fear. That's an old saying. And it's the same with the hood.
Yeah.
It's no different. It's no different. They smell fear. Right. And then we can even, you know, not making it a hood thing, even the so-called uppie neighborhoods, the goody good neighborhoods. Right. When they're kicking you off of their property or looking at you funny eye, like, what are they doing here? Right. If you go to too much fear of, I'm sorry, then they're going to take it. Well, you know, we'll call this one and call that, you know, and like you didn't do anything but look a certain type of way, a stereotype. This happens. Right. People can call it whatever. It happens to me in a Spanish neighborhood. It happened to me because of my tattoos. Right, I couldn't even cash one of my own checks. Dude had to do a double check, a double background. I'm like, dude, I'm freaking registered with y'all for 4 years at AmScot. I'll put it on blast. Like, are you serious? I should have went to the hood, the black and Spanish neighborhood I live in, instead of going to just the Spanish neighborhood. Yeah, I was because of my tattoos. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's like, the thing is, you know, when you over-respect sometimes, that's why I'm saying we got to keep it fine. You over-respect, some people will take advantage of that as well. You know, they take kindness for a weakness, right? And I, during my wilder verbal times, I would say, don't take my peace for puss, you know, the rest of the word, right? And I'd have to tell them, like, don't take my peace for that, bro, because it's not what you think it is, you know? So.
Yeah, and I think what you hit on there was so important. From what you've been through, and I speak to, you try not to use the tonalities, the things that you used to do to have to let somebody know that I ain't the one, because you understand it and help me. And I tell people this a lot. I say, even when I was teaching the class, I say, you probably get one spit. If we have an encounter, you probably get one spit. I'm going to take that one spit and I'm going to give you a pass. Cause you, for whatever reason, whatever could happen beyond that, that encounter is not healthy for me. Because once you go over that edge of violence and anger and frustration, people don't understand. Brother, you know it. When you've been there, it feels so good that you can forget the consequences of that sort of thing. Talk to me. Understand this, man.
Listen, consequent. Woo! Listen, here's how it goes down. Bully A, and I'm not even going to call him bully because we're grown adults, right? Predator A tries victim B, who happened to be me or you, because we're super respectful. We don't disrespect people, right? So they feel, you know, they're going to try us. So whatever, we're old. We don't look like martial artists. We don't look like we got it anymore, whatever the situation. So they try. We do the respect. They cross the boundary. We react. Why? Because we know we're in a threatened situation. Okay, then it comes to surface. What happens? Predator A now becomes a victim, put the little teary eyes, don't have a record. People like me and you got the record. We're martial artists, and we got criminal records from 30, 40 years ago. We're the bad guys, and people that don't know who we are, that's the consequences. So we have to be, people like you and I, have to be triple precautious. One, our background, what lived experience when we were kids, you know, the trouble on the streets. Two, we have martial arts experience. You have a lot more than I do, but I have, you know, my martial arts experience where I've been in the ring, the cages, and the mats, right? And then three, is the mixture of all that. So the consequence could be real dire for you and I, not like your average person, right? And then they're going to cry victim, and he did, you know, if there's no camera watching it, I mean, they might just believe them over us, right? So the consequences, brother, are there.
And I tell people when, correct me if I'm wrong here, we give to these kids. It's one thing to give for dollars, but it's another thing to give because you don't want them to go where we've been.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't want them to deal with that. You can talk tough. You can be out here talking about killing. But until you done been in a place of total darkness.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, when you done been locked down where nobody giving you a chance but an hour to come out, and you got to choose life over suicide and situations, and you got to walk amongst men that want to just bite your damn head off. But you walk around here acting like you the killer and you the best in the world and tell you, oh, man, I'm sorry, man, because I just bad example for our kids.
How
important it was to walk that truth, Ruben, so our kids don't have to make those choices, man.
I think one of the greatest things about martial arts in the world, in my opinion, and I'm going to give you a quick lived experience story with real quick. I was just involved in an organization mentoring to the kids. However, I felt very uncomfortable because I could not bring my art in there. I couldn't bring the martial arts, the mixed martial arts. I had to just sit at a round table for 4 hours. And these kids were court ordered, right? So the owner of that organization didn't feel like these kids were ready to learn mixed martial arts boxing, which I differ with her because I deal with the same kids from the same, we deal with the highest crime neighborhoods in Orlando. Like the four top ones, we're there. This is where we train. And I've seen the amazing results. Not a single arrest on our watch. I think 2 bully cases and we got rid of them. We gave them the warning and then that's it. You can't train no more. That's the end of that, right? And we're talking over 600 kids that we've done this with. At this point, maybe about 800, 900. However, the thing is when you have kids like that, right, that are with the bully mentality, with the aggressive, this sport will tell on you. You playing that, you coming in there on the round table with your pants under your ass, right, playing this hard role, right? You know, because they're looking at me for the first time in my life, I was looked at as the system because they were court ordered. I've never been in that type of situation before. Right, right. So they don't know my story. They don't know nothing about me. All they know is I'm some coach / mentor assigned to them from the system, right? Right. So they don't know I've been there, done that, right? And and still in them, it's still in your neighborhood. I just can't tell you I've been in your neighborhood. Unless if you see me, you see me, right? And so they're playing it to, I don't want to be in it. Mama can't even understand what they're saying, right? And we're talking all colors across the board. I'm not talking one race. All the colors across. You know, they're mad. They're angry. They're tough as hell. Man, they stand up moving their shoulder. And you know what I'm saying? Myself? I wish I could mentor to you through my sport. So I'll show you you're not tough. I'll bring them same square kids, your little victim kids that in that ring. Yeah. And you're going to smile and think you're about to knock them out. And you'll look just like the hundreds of others I've dealt with. You're going to get your butt humbled and never show up again. Or you're going to show up and you're going to be a new man when I get done with you. Yeah. So our sport is a saving grace for the tough kids. It really is. It's not just for the victims. A lot of people don't look. It will humble the bully, man. It'll humble them.
But we know that, like, think about it. Coming up, when you was coming up, we had community centers where we hung out at. You played some ball, you did whatever, but it was always some guy on the court that probably like slam dunk that ball in your face or cross you over and you down on your butt and they like, yo, he just crossed you over. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can't live with that. You gotta go out and earn them strikes, man.
Right, exactly.
Even if you elbowed him, you had to do something like, hold up, man. Respect. And I think what you're saying about that, I get that when I go, I tell people, I say, give me any bad kid. I guarantee you I can teach them. And what I do is like, you know, our little fitness component. I get them to start doing those 5 burpee apparatuses and push-ups and the tuck jumps. By the time they get through a minute, they did. And you know what? Once that fatigue set in, you got to be it's humble. Over.
Game over. Game over.
Game over.
Game is over.
How would you describe? I mean, and I know people heard. I always say fatigue make cowards of us all. In your own words, let's take it from a self-defense standpoint, from a street standpoint, being out there dealing with these pressures of just trying to break the cycle. What does that fatigue? How important is understanding the loss of fatigue physically, mentally, as well as spiritually?
Mentally, there's no room for it. You cannot go feet on the street to work with kids in high crime areas mentally fatigued. You can't do it because you're going to have to tolerate a lot of crap from them, from sometimes the parents who sometimes become ungrateful. You open a lot of doors for them. You say no one time. I can't pick them up this day. Now you're the worst coach that ever existed, though you've been with the kid for 2 or 3 years. You know, things like, you can't go in mentally fatigued. So mine is number one. Spiritual, each for their own. But a lot of times, Will, and I'm going to tell you something, Bam, something that's crazy is some of us, when we were incarcerated, I want to say 99% of us, and I want to say 100% of people that I associate with right now, when we were at our weak times mentally, we cried upon our Lord. Whether that was Allah, Yahweh, Jesus, your Buddha meditation, whoever, what I mean, so many names in different religions. However, when we come out here, we tuck it away. And that's an error we're making, because people look at us like, wow, he survived all those years in prison. He survived, you know, I did, I'm 1 year shy of two decades myself, right? So that's not 2 years for the kids that are listening and don't understand what a decade is, right? I'm 1 year shy of doing 10, two decades behind them walls, right? And it wasn't big to, oh, he was big. No. I had my breakdown moments and I had my strength. My strength was that almighty creator, right? So when we come out here, we don't teach them that. We teach them only the mental and the physical, and we're not teaching them what made us strong. And that's an error I think we're making all across the board, even as credible messengers, those who have the credibility, such as yourself, to bring a message of authentic message of youth crime prevention to the kids because of our lived experience. We've taken that out of the picture, and I think that's an error we're making, right? Because that is the strength. So you got to go in mentally strong. And once again, you have to have a spiritual strength, because when you do get put in a situation where it's life or death, and you might not even be, you might not be able to defend yourself against two or three guns, you're not going to be able to do it. Then you got to rely on God. Lord, protect me. Because I have no gun. I have nowhere to run. I have no one to call. Touch one of their hearts to protect me. And hey, my man, I mean, I could die when I got the phone with you, but I'm 45. I ain't got a bullet hole in me. I ain't got a knife wound in me. And I've been to the worst of the worst throughout the United States and still going to the worst of the worst throughout the world. The hot zone, the cold hot zones, never had cold. I might have cold tomorrow. I'm not saying I can't get hit with these things. I'm saying that God has put that protection on me that I have asked for. Maybe one day he'll take it away from me. It's my time got to come. Your time got to come, brother. And then on the physical level, as for the fatigue on the streets, brother, people would, martial arts experience, I don't think we have to worry about that. The fatigue physically, because the street fighter don't last for a minute. You know, yeah. They want to come in with some wild punches, a slam, and then, you know, they want somebody to come break it up, because that's when we start taking off after. I'm light, so I get slammed a lot. But, you know, I know jujitsu, and if you don't know jujitsu as a street fighter, you're going to be in a whole lot of trouble, because a basic jujitsu artist will tear your behind, literally tear your arm up off you. And I've proved that many times over and over and over again in self-defense situations. However, I don't ever want to go there. For example, I signed up for the 5K today. Ain't ran in 2 years. Haven't done no real training or anything. And I didn't quit. And I wasn't last place. So it's that resilience is always there, brother, physically. So, no, there's no room for fatigue mentally. We could fatigue physically. We'll be fine. We'll be all right. I proved it today. We'll be all right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We'll be fine. Yeah.
You know, when you hit the spiritual, that's for me, that's what the warrior's mindset is. What I did when I was incarcerated, I took the same principles of the program of AA, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, which allows you to, and then I can, yeah, it's like 12 steps. You know, one of the most powerful concept to help people recover from a hopeless state of, you know, being, be it addiction, whatever it may be, the 12-step programs.
Right.
What the programs really are about, they show you the references in spiritual books and everything, but they keep you on that spiritual path of saying, let go, let God. You know what I'm saying?
And right.
We miss that in the martial arts, because that's the chi. That's what Dao Mo, that's what those guys did.
Right.
I try to stay on it through the meditation and Tai Chi, because like you said, I don't know what I do. Sometimes the human power ain't strong enough to help me get through that next level. You had to go down deep. When you lock down like that, man, the only thing you could turn to is a higher power.
That's it, man. And you realize real quick, you're not that higher power.
Yes.
I've had a lot of people come in with that notion of, you know, thinking that they are that almighty instead of a piece of him or her or it or she or whatever it is, right? And until they get in that spot you're mentioning, you will realize really quick, you are not that almighty. You are not that dude. You are not the almighty. Yeah, so you got to tap back in with that almighty.
That's right. And brother, when you came down for the tournament, we didn't get a chance to talk, but and I'm glad we're doing this now. But the other thing, I mean, I always tell people, I say, you know what? Wealth to me is living the life I have now. We didn't all been in levels. If you want to be wealthy, you can go out on the street and take a couple of something, flip something, you can have money just like that. But the consequences are so devastating that you find wealth in what you're doing right now, helping them.
Mm. Yeah.
You find wealth in going and sitting down and talking to policemen and CEOs and everybody about changing the community.
Right.
On the highest level of that we hear about the message, Jesus went amongst the pimps and the prostitutes and all the people.
The thieves, yeah.
Talk to me, Reuben. Talk to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not it's the sick that need a doctor, right?
Yeah.
For sure.
And your wealth, when we talk about the defining moment, because some people get caught up in the bling. We know that a lot of times most of the crimes are committed because we want what the next man got. We think on the other side of the track that we get the money for the shoes. Even when you talk about the mom and you talk about the kids, changing that mindset when you see a kid coming to take class and the mom saying, I can't afford this, but you look at his feet and he got a pair of $200 Jordans, and you're like, hold up, something wrong with this concept. You're spending money on something that's not going to create wealth for them, but you're not finding a way to put them into something that's going to create such a level of internal wealth that it's everlasting.
Right. You're right.
How those levels of wealth for you?
My greatest example off the top of my head while I'm hearing you speak, and with your permission, I know it's public, but with your permission, this interview, can I mention a little something about your wife's situation?
Yeah, you're good.
All right. So, after shortly meeting you, like your wife was going through cancer. It was cancer, correct?
Yeah.
Right. And she went through a lot of changes mentally, physically, and spiritually because she made her comments public. Or I don't know, maybe her friend. That's why I asked you permission to do it. And the way that you came to her side, the way that you cleaned tires, the way that you represented her, the way that she knew she had a husband like you till the end, no matter how that situation played out or is still playing out. To me, I stopped looking at your wife's posts. I couldn't even handle them no more because of the strength of wealth, of love that y'all have for each other. And by my marriage being tore up right now, as I'm speaking with you, probably not even coming back together on any other terms again. I wish I had that. I wish I had not only a woman that I love, that if she was ill, I would be there for her 1,000% and she will know it. But that if I was ill, because I'm reaching that age, brother, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That I would have somebody there for me 1,000% other than, the spiritual creator, something physical like you have. I think you have set the example. And I'm not saying that because I'm on an interview with you. Like, it really touched me how strong she was suffering. And I had a cousin going through the same thing at the same time as your wife. And as a matter of fact, I tagged my cousin in some of your wife's postings, right? So she's not really a Facebooker like that. I don't know if she saw him or not, but she went through the strength with her husband as well. So just, man, that's the wealth, brother. The wealth is loyalty amongst people, which is so rare. I mean, it's almost non-existent, even in the marriages, right? And I've come to accept that humans are susceptible to error. So once you accept that, anybody that does dirty to you, you can accept, oh, well, he's human. She's human. But I'm not going to mess with him no more, right? Yeah. You know, and then we can trust each other to certain degrees. You might be able to trust your wife more than anybody else on the planet, but she's still a human. She's still going to make mistakes, right? And vice versa. But no, you set the example. I'm not going to use my examples because your example is greater than mine when it comes to leaving that wealth. That is the wealth legacy. What I leave behind, brother, and some of these kids, no problem. But what you and your wife got, that right there, that is the true element of oneness. Like, she was suffering. Like, I couldn't even recognize it from the lady I met, you know? And y'all, like, held it in, man, strong. That was, can't get no greater than that. That type of love, bro, you can't write that. You can't fake that. You can't. My kudos to you, man. I would tilt my hat, but I got a funky haircut. I let the kids play with my hair. Yesterday, they left me they call it the African crane, right? Yeah. But yeah, I tilt my hat, man. I expose myself by tilting my hat for you, brother.
I think it goes back to, once again, it's sad that we had to go through hell, but we went through hell to find a way that we love. And I'm saying me and you. And that's what I worked on in jail, man. I realized what my weaknesses were. I couldn't respect women. I seen my mom being beat up and, you know, treated like nothing. And I prayed to God, along with making myself better. I wanted to earn the right to have a woman that I could love, and I would never get a divorce. But one of the things that I think we don't talk about, and I'm sorry because I get emotional about this, man. Brother said, you got to change everything about you, man. You got to change how you talk. You got to change how you treat women. You got to change everything. And I earned that right. And every day I still continue to read. Yesterday I just wrote a book on how to have a better marriage. I'm a work in progress every day. And that's what people miss. It's like One thing that I think traditional martial arts teaches is that a black belt is just a white belt that never quit. Every day I wake up, I'm a white belt. Forget that master title. But I'm saying in every area, as a dad, as a husband, as a businessman, I don't know. And I think that's the beautiful thing. My wife, man, brother, I thank her for giving me a chance to even be in her life. And I will be the shout that at the rooftop, man. I'm honored. You know, that even my kids, even you, man. And I guess because I just don't want to go to that hell no more. And I think when people see us and we talk and we help, you just asking somebody that brings in that negative vibe is like, man, please stop, man. I don't want this. You don't know. When you done been there, you fight every day never to go back there, because it's so easy to punch somebody in them. It's so easy to do the bad. It's the easiest thing in the world.
Easiest. Oh, man, it's easy. Yeah. Easy.
Disrespect is easy.
Yeah. Easy.
Respect is hard, especially like you said, when you know another man is disrespecting.
Right.
So if there's anything you want to say to, you know, just the people, I mean, I've mentioned some of the incredible messengers. I mean, because...
Well, you and your wife are credible messengers. Credible messengers is a movement of people with lived experience. And let me make this clear. A lot of people, because, you know, it was pretty much, and I'm not even going to say it was started. The word was coined in the prison system in New York by Eddie Ellis, who used to be a Black Panther, who got caught up in the when the feds were knocking them all. And no coincidence that the movies came out yesterday. Right. And it'll speak for itself. Right. There was a lot of illegal stuff done by our federal government to have these people incarcerated. And he's one of those. He was a Jamaican from Harlem, Black Harlem in New York. And he coined a term that, you know, we need credible messengers to stop our people from coming into the system, because he did a study. I think it's called the 7 Neighborhood Study, that was absolutely mind blowing. We're talking no computers back then, no cell phone, right? In prison, they did it, called the Think Tank with the Quakers, him and a couple of other brothers. They said 75% of the New York state prisoners came from New York City, and out of New York City, they only came out of 7 neighborhoods. So what are their similarities that they're flooding the prison? And I might be wrong, I might be 76% or whatever, but it was the majority. Regardless of the similar, you know, poverty, a lack of education, blah, 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 blah. One thing he said for the cure was they need credible messengers to go out and cure that. They need people like you, like me, like your wife, people who understand them. And there's people, there's police officers, and there's pastors, and there's community people, real authentic ones, authentic, that are credible messengers without ever having to touch a prison system. They were there, they were from the hood, they just chose a different path. You understand what I'm saying? And the kids know, because that's their uncle. That's, you know, it's weird sometimes when I hear certain people speak about F the police, and I understand why that came about. And I was on that too. I understand why, but half of these people, when I get to know, I'm going to their house and they're like, yo, this is my uncle, and their uncle's in uniform, you know, and F the government, right? But yet your father's in military gear fighting for the same government, right? It's one of the biggest contradictions of the street mentality. It is. Think about it. Everybody that I know that says F the police, F the government, F the military, they have a family member that they love that is supporting that. Isn't that funny? How does that work out, right? But, you know, and I come from a military background, mom, dad, and stepdad working for the army, right? But yeah, brother, it's the credible messengers have that credibility, and it's strong in where you're at right now in Washington, D.C., with the DYRS, Department of Youth Rehabilitation Services, something that's never been done. Those that are coming out of the feds with records and stuff, as long as they don't have sex offenses, crimes against children, they're actually working in the detention center in D.C. with the kids, I think, for 5 years now. Tone will know, Antonio Fernandez, King Tone, who you hosted as well. He runs it in there, the grow up, grow out, the credible messenger aspect. I think all the slashings, no more riots. And why? Because the poison became the cure. We were the poison. We were the troublemakers. We were the hood terrorists, the hood, whatever, you know what I'm saying? The mean ones. And then we come back as the cure. I mean, when, you know, the cure for this cold is what, you know, right now it has COVID in it, right? The flu shot, it has the flu in it. You know, the snake medicine, some of the world's best medicines come from poison, right? And we have to think about that when we're talking about crime as well, because it's a mindset. So how do we get to these kids that think it's cool to rob an innocent victim, that think it's cool to rob an old lady? You need people that taught them that to come back and say, wrong. We were wrong. We were misled and we misled you. And now we're coming back to tell you we were wrong. And we can do this another way. You want to make money? Let's go beat these businesses down by hiring. And they don't hire you, then we're going to do something about them. And we could do that legally without burning the building down or nothing. We could boycott them. We got a powerful voice. We could do it. You know, you're in our neighborhood, but you don't want to hire any of us. Okay, we're not going to buy from you no more. All of us, you know. So there's ways to do it. But, yeah, that's what credible messengers are, brother. They just have they're just authentic, man, you know, because of lived experience. The kids can relate and they can relate to the kids. It doesn't mean it's always a perfect relationship between the mentor and the kid, but that might take another mentor. Maybe I look like somebody that robbed them when they were younger. They don't even want to work with me. I belonged in one of the gangs that hurt their cousin or something. But I could bring Will. I could bring Bam in, and Bam don't look like me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
yeah, and it's so powerful when you say that, because one of the things I often say, for me now, I want my kids and the kids I work with. I say, look, don't bring. The one thing that I ask you, don't create self-imposed misery. I think when me and you talk, we made a lot of our misery. It's like self-destructive. We were on self-destructive behaviors. Wow. We already got natural challenges that's going to come because it's a part of life. Why double that by volunteering to do some stuff that you know going to increase the pressure that's going to come on you? And that's what I try. If that's one thing they say in the program of recovery, they say it's important for me to bring my bottom up to you. Because once you see my bottom, maybe you don't have to have a bottom that low. Maybe my, like you said, that knowledge of the incredible messengers can prevent you from going so low. Everybody, right. Gotta go to, like you said, we ain't got to go to jail. We ain't got to go through that. We can get it right here. You know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
So
exactly.
If you can... when you came out for Point MMA, what was your take on Point MMA? Tell the world about what you think about this collaboration between the United States Fight League.
Oh, I loved it, man. So the Point MMA gave traditional martial artists like karate, taekwondo a chance to kind of bridge into MMA safely without going to the ground and get submitted right away. So I love the – I mean, obviously, we United States Fight League love the concept so much that we actually made it one of our rule sets. I think it's the C rule set or something like that.
C level.
Yeah, so I would like to see a lot more collaborations, man, between, you know, with the rule set, with the Point MMA, like to have you, you know, kind of regulate some of the C rule sets. We get everybody registered with the United States Fight League because we're trying to get this into the Olympics. So we got to do – like in Florida, man, there's a lot of – if there's no headshots, which is Point MMA and Youth MMA here without, you know, the United States Fight League version, they call it Sport MMA here. Some people call it Junior MMA. There's all kinds of Sport Jiu-Jitsu. There's all kinds of names of it. But in Florida, we call it Sport MMA. And so there's no a sanction and authority necessary for that. There's no regulation. Let me say that. There's no regulation. So I would love, you know, by us trying to get into the Olympics, we got to do these safety abuses courses. We got to get licensed. We got to make sure the coaches don't have sex offenses and crimes against children. So that works out good with the credible messengers as well. And so I would love to see everybody registered under that, the United States Fight League, and having you run like whole C League tournaments for the karate and taekwondo people before they can bridge into the Class A rules, which is the full contact youth MMA without headshots. I always want to make that because we want our young kids' brains to develop. But I loved it, man. The kids loved it. I was actually disappointed you didn't do the show during the COVID. I was pissed. You know, I was in your image. Everything you sent me. Brother, check this out. Hey, are you doing the event in November? Well, we wanted to go back, man. So we were excited. Hi. So we were excited and we wanted to, we wanted to come back, man, in mass. And no, it was wonderful, man. You have a wonderful support and community. And that's obviously from many, many, many years of labor, man. That didn't happen overnight. So, and I understand that very well. The mayor supported you, I want to tie you and your wife in with the credible messengers more over there, because there's a lot of kids that can use your guidance in the martial arts. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? And there's a lot of government funding where you're at that should be provided. You should be able to teach your kids. And I know, I'm not trying to scare away your paying parents, right? Because you got to pay for what you want. Like, but real talk, the government where you're at should be paying you to allow your facility to run free for any kid that steps in there, because that's how authentic the work is that you're doing. And that's the goal of the credible messenger. Don't use me as a volunteer at your table, but you're getting paid and you might have a badge on, and you might work for a social company, a social service, but you're going to bring Coach Ruben, the one that did all the prison time, that changed his life and did all these great things and doing all these great things, but I don't get paid, but you get paid to provide for your family? Hell no. We all get paid, or I'm not coming no more. That's how I do it now. Before, I used to get excited about getting invited. Oh my God, look, I'm going to be at the table with Sutton. And then I started catching on. They're like, yo, are they paying for that? No, I'm a volunteer. Why? Well, they're getting paid for that. Okay, but that's them. And then, you know, it started making sense. Like, dude, you're selling them for crumbs, man, for what you bring to that table. Well, you know?
What's so awesome, Coach, is that's how the martial arts is. That's a lot of people, when they see that we can bring something to them, you know, that to the table to help empower them. And you're right, because we're so much of a giver. We ain't really, because on the street, really, you know, you ain't got to tell them about you. A guy ain't going to call you in if he ain't going to give you a hookup. And you ain't that stupid to go around some cat that's going to try to give you something for free. That just ain't a part of the code. It's like, if y'all doing something together, you going to get some return on your time and your investment. But one of the things that we recently did to prevent that, And me and you going to talk a little bit more, but I can talk about it on the show, is that we created something called a Kids Point MMA, 37 skills.
Okay. Yeah, I remember I was supposed to take the course on that, but I arrived too late from Florida when we drove over there.
We going to do it on virtual so we can get this. So what the way it's set up, we got the kids who are teenagers to become the coaches for the kids that are under 12. What I just found out from the state of Maryland with the mayor, you only have to be 14 or 15 to get a work permit.
Right.
If we get these young teenagers to become certified coaches in Point MMA, they now, with somebody like you or a parent or mentors, we can get them to start their own LLC and become their own independent contractors or entrepreneurs. Are you
so beautiful? Bro, this has been, I'm on the mayor's gang safety task force right now as we speak. It'll be over with next month. We make a recommendation. There's been a lot of shootouts between in the high crime neighborhoods between what they're calling gangs. To me, they're not gangs, but they're just rappers that gang together, but they're not like the gangs that I know, right? However, one of the strongest recommendations is that we don't just need programs. We need an outlet where they can get a career. Right. And it's funny because my kids, bro, once they start turning 15, 16, 17, you know, guess the two biggest things I lose them behind. I'm just going to tell you to guess. Just guess. Once they turn 14, 15, 16, guess what the two biggest factors that I lose those kids at?
In sports, where they can get a scholarship.
Jobs. When they get that little McDonald's or Burger King job, they feel like they made it because there's no money in this fighting thing as a kid. Right. And then the second thing is when they get a boyfriend or girlfriend, they feel like they're married and they're, spend time with me. Don't go training no more. It's too rough and that or whatever. Right. Those two things. Now, I can't do nothing about the boyfriend, girlfriend thing, except for inviting that other half to come experience and support it. Right. But we need to. This is what I tell my kids. It's funny, man, that you're saying that. I tell all my kids, I need you to keep competing as a child. And when you're 16 or 17, let's get your coach's license. Let's get you licensed by the United States Fight League. And let's see if I can get you hired at other facilities, maybe some facilities that won't even hire me because I got the record.
But Coach, that's the thing that I created. That's why we got to talk.
That's beautiful, man.
It shows them how to go to gyms and teach Point MMA or MMA in a manner where you don't even have to spar. You can teach the sparring or you can teach the fitness element. It's the wide open for them, brother. When they go off to college, they can do enough where we figured out how it can be added to their resume of submission for college and stuff. That's what I've been doing since when COVID shut us down. I figured out how do we teach the teenagers how to be the mentors for the kids, and me and you be the mentors for the teenagers.
Listen, remember I told you I started working at that mentoring place? I actually asked the lady, can I bring in some of my 16 and 17 year old mentors for the younger kids? They're sleeping on those kids, man. Listen, you and I are older. There's a generation gap coming. Yeah, we could relate with the lived experience on the streets, but remember when we were younger and the old schools would tell us their little wars, and we didn't want to hear that crap. We did not give a damn. Didn't care what you've been through. 60 years before, we didn't care. And that's where we're at this point. So we do need those younger ones to go in, not only as entrepreneurs and gym instructors, but as credible messengers and mentors to those younger ones as well. And bro, we're on the same link, man. We just got to get it together. We got to get it together. We're on the same link, though. Yeah.
That's right. Well, I thank you so much, my brother. Like always, nothing but love for you. We are going to bring, we can't wait for 2022 because we got some, we know it's going to be some major events because we figure things going to be a little bit more like open.
Right.
We figure it's going to be a madhouse when people go back to events because not everybody going to go back, but there'll be enough of people that's going back to some of these events where people will be anxious to want to get out there and do some touching and some hitting and some punching, man.
Right.
You know?
And I want to apologize to you, brother. I want to apologize for not being in like a desk setting, like what I intended to do for this interview. But I, you know, the kids wanted to run. And I said, well, you know what? I actually thought I was going to be running while doing this interview. But I beat the clock, man. I beat it before 8:30. I did it before an hour, so I'm good. But, yeah, I want to apologize to you. I normally wouldn't even do an interview like this outside, walking around, breathing hard, you know. But it worked out good, man. It left room for nothing but transparency. Yeah, no triple thing. You get what you get from this conversation right here, you know. But I appreciate your time too, brother. And I'm looking forward to seeing you, the wife, the team, and the fam real soon, God willing, man.
Yes, sir.
I will definitely be in touch, brother.
All right.
So tag me in this link, and I'll share it when I get back home tonight or this afternoon.
Peace and blessings.
All right. Peace and blessings, my brother.
Oof.
All right.